Today's shiur has been dedicated by a loyal listener from London as a zchus for refuah shleima for Yehuda Leib ben Basha. Our shiur today is Masechta Tainis Daf Chav Zayin. We will begin on Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. In our previous shiur, we discussed some of the halachas of when we do Nesiyas Kapayim. We had learned that we don't do Nesiyas Kapayim on Erev, at Mincha on a regular weekday, because Shikris, that's a time when people might be intoxicated. And as we begin today's shiur, the Gemara reviews and tells us that somebody who is Shikr, somebody who is intoxicated, may not duchen. Says the Gemara, the Kul Alma, everybody agrees, Shikmias, Shikr also by Nesiyas Kapayim, that somebody is intoxicated, may not do Nesiyas Kapayim. Ask the Gemara, not immediately. From where do we know this halacha? Says the Gemara, Am Yeshua ben Levi, Mishim b'kapara. Lama nismecha pashas koim mevarech. The Torah says, Daba b'nei Aaron v'albon avlein mekoi svarchas b'nei Yisrael. Next to it, the Torah teaches us the parasha of Nazir. Loimelach, man Nazir osu b'yayin. Just like we know a Nazir may not drink wine. Af koim mevarech osu b'yayin. So to the halacha is that a kohen who is duchening osu b'yayin may not drink wine. As we speak about the halacha that a kohen who's mevarech, as we just said, may not drink wine, the halacha is, as the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah teaches us, he may not drink wine more than a revius. The only amount of wine that they may drink is less than a revius. But then there's another halacha, and that is that if a kohen came to the status that he's shikr, he came to the degree that he's shikr kishikruso shalait, that he's shikr to the degree like light, that he's not really able and is not aware of his circumstances, he's not able to answer and speak properly, then he's also not allowed to duchen. And as the Noisei Kalim of the Shulchan Aruch explained this halacha, they say that there are two separate halachas. There's one halacha that in drinking wine. And in drinking wine, the halacha is that the shir is a revius. Even if somebody will drink a revius wine and it won't have any effect on him, it doesn't make a difference. The halacha is he may not do birkas kahanim. And then there's another halacha that somebody who's a shikr, somebody who is intoxicated, such an individual may not do Nesiyas Kapayim. But when we speak about a shikr, where it isn't because of wine, there it's dependent on the shir of kishikrusoi shalut, shalait. Maskalai avud Rav Zeira. So on this, the avud Rav Zeira of Emelei Oshiba Zavda ask, if we're comparing birchas kohanim to a nazir, the halacha is that we know that a nazir is not allowed to drink wine, or the halacha is a nazir is also asur b'chartzen. He's not allowed to eat the pits or the peels of a grape. So if we're learning now that we're comparing the nazir to the hilchus nazir and hilchus birkus kahanim, so if asked the Gemara, the halacha should be af kai mevarech, the kohen that is duchening should be asur b'chartzen, should not be allowed to have any grape products. Amar Rav Yitzchak answers the Gemara Amar Kra. The pasuk says l'vsharis o l'varchem shmoi ma misharis. Just like the kohen who does the avoid in the Beis Hamikdash, muta becharzen is allowed to have grape products, because the Torah, when it speaks about the kohen not being allowed to drink wine, the Torah says yayin v'sheicha ateisht. So the Torah speaks about somebody who drank wine. It doesn't speak about somebody who's having grape products. Af kai mevarach, we say the same halacha applies to someone who's doing duchening. He's mutter b'chartzen, he's allowed to have grape products. Ask the Gemara, if we're going to learn that way, imam sharis, if we're comparing the kohen who's doing the avoida to the kohen to the kohen who's duchening, we know that a kohen who's a balmum, is not allowed to do the avoda. So the halacha ought to be af kai mevarach loy, that the halacha ought to be that a kohen who's duchening, we should not allow a kohen who's duchening to do the avoda. And it says the Gemara, on that hand, ha'iskish l'nazir, we're comparing him to a nazir. And just like a nazir, it doesn't make a difference. The person who accepts upon himself to be a nazir, it doesn't make a difference if he is a balmum or not. Any individual is allowed to be a nazir. So too, any kohen, even if he's a balmum, is allowed to do birkas kohanim. So what we've done here is, what the Gemara has done, is every time the Torah compares the kohen, we use it lakula. We compare the kohen duchening to the kohen who does the avoida, and that's why we're allowing him to eat grape products. On the other hand, we're comparing him to the nazir, and just like a nazir, a balmum could be a nazir, so too can the kohen who does duchening be a nazir. Ask the Gemara, my chazis, the makish lakula, why every time we have the choice, are we lenient? Akish l'chumra. Ask the Gemara, why shouldn't we be machmer? Answers the Gemara, everything that we're learning here is an asmachta nu. All of this is only an asmachta, and the halach is, therefore, which is a drabanan, and therefore we always go l'kula. And therefore the halach is that a kohen balmum is allowed to do duchening. However, the Shulchan Aruch says that if the kohen has a mum that is noticeable, we need to be concerned, says the Shulchan Aruch, that people are going to look at the Baal Mum and at the Mumim and not pay attention properly to the Birkas Kohanim, or look at the kohen's hands, which is not supposed to look during the Birkas Kohanim. And therefore, such a kohen should not duchen if he's a Baal Mum. However, says the Shulchan Aruch, that's only the different menhagim in the way duchening is done. In some places, we could see the kohen's hands and face when he does duchening. And therefore, if he's in such a situation, we may not allow him to duchen if it's going to cause people to not pay attention to the duchening. However, if it's a situation, which is the minig in most places, that when they duchen, they cover their hands and they cover their face, so even if somebody has this, it's not going to be noticeable, because it's covered, then even though he's a balmum, we allow him to duchen. I saw that the Shaal Shachuvas River Sephraim, Chelik Bey Simin Kuf Tzadik Tes, wants to suggest that a kohen that's wearing a bandage should not be allowed to duchen. Because just like the halacha is by avoidam, we know if there's a chatzitza on the kohen's hand or any part of his body, he's not allowed to do the avoida. So too should be the halacha by duchening, if we're saying that duchening is an avoida. But Rav Avadya Yosef Zatzal and the Shas Achuvis Yabi Oimer Chelik Ches Eirchayim Simen Yud Gimel disagrees, and he says if Al Gemara just said that we compare a kohen when he's duchening to the nazir. And that's why the Gemara says that a kohen as a Baal Mum could still do duchening. Says Rav Avadya Yosef, we also compare him that there's obviously no issue when we speak about a kohen, a nazir, who's wearing a chatzitza. In no way does it affect his ability to do the naziris, and therefore it also doesn't affect his ability to duchen. And even if he's wearing chatzitza, which is a disqualification in the avoida, it's not a disqualification in duchening. Al Gemara said that the Birkas Kohanim is in some way like an avoida, and some way it's not like an avoida. And that's why we know the halacha is that a kohen who, as we said a few moments ago, a kohen who drank a revius wine is not allowed to do nesias kapayim, because it's similar to avoida. So the halacha is that if it's compared to avoida, we know, of course, when a kohen does the avoida, it's absolutely necessary that he should wear the big day kahuna. So why is Birkas Kohen, the Nesias Kapayim, not require that the Kohen wear Big Day Kuhuna? So the Sefer Birkas Kohen has a very beautiful approach how to understand the avoda of Birkas Kohanim vis-a-vis the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. He says the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash is considered an avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. Birkas Kohanim is not considered an avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, but it's that person is considered as if he is oimid lefnei Hashem. He's standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in order to do an avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, Bigdei Kahuna are required. In order to stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you don't have to wear Bigdei Kahuna. But of course, if you shesui yayin, if you drank wine, you are unfit to stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why such an individual is not allowed to duchen, because he's not able to stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he's in such a state. The halacha is that a kohen who worshipped Avodah Zarah, the halacha is not allowed to duchen. The halacha, however, is that a kohen who is a tamei meis even is allowed to duchen. All the kohanim bezman hazeh are tamei meisim. So the question is, again, why is a kohen who worshipped Avodah Zarah, certainly if he hasn't done tshuva, not allowed to duchen? And why is a kohen who's tamei allowed to duchen? And the same answer, the Birkas Kohen gives the exact same answer. He says there's a difference, as we just said, how are we to view somebody who's doing duchening? The way Halacha views such an individual, as if he's oimid lefnei Hashem. So a person, specifically bezman hazeh, if he became a tamei meis, and such an individual became a tamei meis beyond his control, that's the world we live in. Such a person is allowed to duchen. It doesn't affect his ability to be oimid lefnei Hashem. Whereas someone who is an oivet avodah zarah, specifically if he hasn't done tshuva yet, he's not an individual who could be oimid lefnei Hashem. And that's why we can't allow him to do nesias kapayim. So we learned in our Mishnah, Eilein mamodus, what are the mamodus? Lefish and them, as we said, tzavos b'nei Yisrael, that when you bring the carbon, the people have to be standing there, and it wasn't possible, obviously, for everybody to be there when the carbonos are being brought, and that's why they established these mamodus. Says the Gemara, ma kama. What is the Mishnah saying? What does the Mishnah mean when it says Eilein mamodus? Explains the Gemara, hachi kama. Eilein mamodus. These are the mamodas, and the Mishnah goes on to explain matam tik mamodas. Why were mamodas established? So says the Mishnah, lefish ne'amar, because the Torah, when it speaks about the karmat tam, it says tzavos b'nei Yisrael v'matal hamas kabani lachem lishai reich nechachi tishmeru l'akali b'mayadai. And says here, so the Torah used the word tzavos b'nei Yisrael, that all of Klal Yisrael have to participate, and the question is, how could a carbon be brought without the people being there? Therefore, Hiskinu Nevi'im Arishonim, the early Nevi'im established that they had Esrim V'Arba Mishmaris. We have 24 Mishmaris of Kohanim. V'Kol Mishmar Mishmar, and corresponding to every Mishmar of Kohanim, Hayimaimed B'Yishlaim Shal Kohanim Shal Levi'im Yisraelim. They had a Maimed of Kohanim Levi'im Yisraelim. He gives man mishmer lalos, and when that whatever specific mishmer that week was that mishmer's turn, kahanim levim oilam ushlayim. The kahanim levim go up to ushlayim, and as we learned, the kahanim go up to do the avoid in the base of mikdash. The levim go up to do the air avoid in the base of mikdash, and the kohanim and the yisraelim who live in ushlayim also go to the base of mikdash. And the other Yisraelim, who are members of the Maimed of that week, stay at home, but as we're going to learn how they live that week. Esrim v'Abba Mishmaris Bet Yisrael, Tanar Abonet, says the Braisa, Esrim v'Abba Mishmaris Bet Yisrael, there were 24 Mishmaris throughout Bet Yisrael, Ushtei Mesrib Yerichai, and there were 12 Mishmaris in Yerichai. Ask the Gemara is assuming that the 12 Mishmaris in Yerichai are in addition to the 24 Mishmairis that there are in Yerushalayim. Ask the Gemara, Shtei Mesrei B'Yerichai, does that mean there's another 12 for a total of 26? Nefesh and Lituva. There will be too many Mishmairis. We only want to have a total of 24. Says the Gemara, no, there were 24 Mishmairis, there were 24 Mamadas, but from those 24 Mamadas, Elishtem Esremahem, 12 of them were Yerichai. Says the Gemara, Higiyaz Man Mishmar Lalois, when the time for a Mishmar came for that week's Mishmar Maimed, Chatzim Mishmar Yoyim Eretz Yisrael Yushlaim, half the Mishmar went to Yushlaim, the Chatzim Mishmar Hail Oil of Yerichai, and half the Mishmar that lived in Yerichai stayed in Yerichai, Kadesh Yisapka Maim Mazel Lachem Yishim Yushlaim, in order that they should be able to support and supply all of the needs in Yerushalayim. Yerichai is not far from Yerushalayim, to be able to supply all the needs. So according to this pshat, half the members of the Mishmar were from Yerushalayim, and half the Mishmar were from Yerichai, and we had all these people from Yerichai as part of the Mishmar, so their job was to supply the people in Yerushalayim. However, that's Rashi's pshat. But Ritva and the Meiri have a different pshat. They said that every week, as they had a mishmer coming to of Maimed people coming to do the avodah, half of them, half a week they were in Yerushalayim, and half a week they were in Yerichai. Half of the week they were in Yerushalayim, they were davening and doing whatever the mishmeres do in Yerushalayim, and the other half of the week they were in Yerichai supplying the people in Yerushalayim, and then they switched. And the people who were in Yerichai went to Yerushalayim, the people in Yerushalayim went to Yerichai. Amar Yehuda Mishmu, Kahanim v'Levim Yisrael ma'akvim sakarben. We need to have Kahanim v'Levim Yisrael to do the carbon. The Mesnisa Tana, we learned in the Braiser of Shimon Alozo, Amar Kahanim v'Levim klishir ma'akvim as a carbon. So this version has included not just the Kahanim v'Levim, but they also have the klishir, the instruments. The first Braiser did not speak about the instrument. Ask the Gemara, but Michael Mifki, what is the basis of the machloikis between these two brises and between these two opinions, Shmuel and Rav Shimon ben Elazar? Says Mamas of Ikashira Bepeh. The way we primarily fulfill the obligation of Shira is just by singing, and therefore the instruments, the klishir, are not essential. Well, Masava, whereas Rav Shimon ben Elazar holds Ikashira Bekli. We only really fulfill the obligation with singing, with instruments. And since we only really fulfill it with instruments, without the instruments, we haven't done the avodah. So there's a very big machlokes how to understand this Gemara. When we say Kohanim Levim Yisraelim, Makom is a carbon. Some learn that the Kohanim Levim and the Yisraelim are all members of the Maimed. Besides that, we had Kohanim Levim doing the avoid in the Beis Hamikdash that they're supposed to do. But the Kohanim Levim, as we started the sugya, learning about the necessity to have a maimed every week, and members of the maimed were Kohanim and Levim. That's one approach. The other approach is that the Kohanim Levim are not members of the maimed. The maimed was necessary to be made up of Yisraelim. When the Gemara says, Kohanim Levim Yisrael Makom is a carbon, what it means is the Kohanim Levim are necessary for what they do, they're avoiding the Beis Hamikdash. And the Yisraelim are necessary for the Maimed. But as far as the Maimed is concerned, there is no need to have members of the Maimed being Kohanim and Levim. So we just learned the Machloikis, if Ikashira Bekeli or Ikashira is the pair. And the most notable nafgamina for this would be when kabbonis are brought on Shabbos. So we know when you do it in the Sochim on a carbon, you have to sing. The question is, if we say Ikashira Bekeli, so although all week long when they brought in the Sochim, they certainly played instruments together with bringing in the Sochim, but it's not essential, so we're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. If, on the other hand, we hold that Ikashere B'Keli, so just like we're allowed to do the Avoid on Shabbos for whatever we're allowed to do, so too the Halacha is that we're allowed to do the Shira and we're allowed to play the instrument.
And that's why, explains Tosfos, we know the Pasuk says in Al Naharis Bavel, they said as they sat when they were going to Golos, Eich Noshir Shir Hashem. How can we sing the Shir Hashem? So if we say, says Tosfos, that Ikka Shir Bekeli, and they had their fingers removed, we understand. But if we say Ikka Shir Bepeh, what is Pshat in that statement? Eich Noshir Shir Hashem. You don't need your fingers to sing. Says Tosfos that of course, even if we hold that Ikka Shir is Bepeh, of course, there was a mitzvah, whenever possible, to use instruments in the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what they said, if they were missing their thumbs, Eich Noshir Ashir Hashem. Omer Rav Mecham Vaguya, Omer Rav. Moshe Tikalem Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu originally established Shmoyne Mishmoyrus, eight Mishmoyrus, Abba Elazar, four were from the family of Elazar, Ben Aaron HaKoyin, V'arba, and four were the family of Mishmoyrus. This was the way Moshe Rabbeinu established the four, the Mishmoyrus. And even though, explains the Ritva, that Moshe Rabbeinu started with eight Mishmoyrus, and we're going to learn in our sugya now that it eventually went up to 24, when Moshe Rabbeinu, so how could they have added to what Moshe Rabbeinu established? Explains the Ritva that when Moshe Rabbeinu established that there were only eight Mishmoyrus, he said, I realize there aren't that many Kohanim now, and since there aren't that many Kohanim now, it's enough to have eight Mishmoyrus. But he said, as Klal Yisrael will grow and there'll be more Kohanim, we should be able to add more, there should be more Mishmoyrus added. And therefore says the Gemara, Bo Shmuel, V'imidim al-sheshesre. Shmuel made 60 Mishmoyrus, and Bo David, and then David HaMelech came, V'imidim al-esrim v'arba, and established 24 Mishmoyrus. Shenema, B'shmas ha-boil malchus based David, Nidrushu, V'yimotze behem, Gibari chayel b'yazah gilad. And there, the Pasuk mentions 24 Mishmoyrus. So Gemara is learning that eventually in the time of David HaMelech, they added Mishmoyrus to get to 24 Mishmoyrus. Meisvei asked the Gemara, it says in a Braisa, they asked on Rav, it says in a Braisa, Moshe Tikalem Yisrael, Shmoyne Mishmoyrus. Moshe Rabbeinu established eight Mishmoyrus. Arba Me'alosav, Arba Me'asorah. Ba Dov V'Shmuel, V'amidam Al Esen V'Arba. And Dov V'Shmuel brought him up to 24. Shnei Mehema Yisa Dov V'Shmuel Aroi B'Mnosam. So this Braisa says that it was David and Shmuel that brought it up to 24, not the way it was said before, that it was originally 8 by Moshe Rabbeinu, 16 by Shmuel, and then 24 by David. Answers the Gemara Hachikomer. This is what this Braisa means to say. It's not a question on his opinion, but rather the way to understand this Braisa is Meyisoyde Shel David and Shmuel Aramosei Midim Al Esav Arba. If we take into consideration what David and Shmuel did, we get up to 24. What it means is that David, Shmuel added it to 16, and David added it to 24. In other words, the way I sort of Meiri explains the Gemara, what they meant to do, what the Gemara means to say is, David and Shmuel both realized that the times required that they should add, but not that they added at the same time. Ask the Gemara another question. Tan Yiduch, it says in this Braisa, Moshe Tikalem Yisrael, Shesh Yisrael Mishmoyrus. Moshe Rabbeinu established 60 Mishmoyrus. Shmoyna mi Elazar, Shmoyna mi Summer, 8 from Elazar and 8 from Summer. Kshrab Abnei Elazar Abnei Summer, when the family of Elazar grew more than the family of Summer. Chilkum, they divided Lazar's family into 60 Mishmoyrus, V'midam Alessim V'arba, and his summer remained with their 8 for a total of 24. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, V'yimotsu b'nei Elazar rabbim l'rosh ha'gvar m'bnei summer. There were many more men in the family of Elazar than in the family of a summer. V'yichalkal b'nei Elazar roshim l'beis avos. They made the family of Elazar shisha asar,
into 16 mishmeiros, or v'nei elazar lebeis avosam shmoina, and he stayed with 8. V'omer, and the pasuk says as well, beis achor of echor achuz lelazar v'achuz echor lisamer. They added a whole mishmer amount of people to elazar. That means that they added. So says the Gemara. Before we go further, ask him a Maiva Omer. What is the pasuk? What did the Braisa mention the second pasuk that we just read? Maiva Omer. What is the purpose of bringing that pasuk? V'chi teima, says the Gemara, because we may think kehech den the fish of Bnei Elazar. That's like the family of Elazar grew. Hachanami the fish of Bnei Summer, and the family of Summer also grew. Shmoinim Ikara, and therefore I'll say that There were eight mishmeiros to each. Mikara arba, have at the beginning there were only 4. Tashma, beis achav achaz, la'lozav achaz achal summer. This pasuk clearly teaches us that Elazar's family grew and they got a whole mishmer's worth of people, eight mishmeiros, and his summer stayed where they were. But what we see clearly is that Moshe Rabbeinu established 16 mishmeiros for Elazar, 8 for Elazar, 8 for Yisomer. Not like Rav Chama Bar Gurya, who says that Moshe Rabbeinu only established 8 mishmeiros, 4 plus 4. Answers the Gemara, Amlach Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Tanaihi. It's a machlokes Tanoim, what happened? Vanik Vanada Amri, and my opinion is Kahai Tana, like the Tana that holds the Mishmaira, Shmaina, the Moshe Rabbeinu established a total of 8 Mishmairas, 4 plus 4. Tana Rabbanan, Arba Mishmairas Olam and Agola. When Klai Yisrael came up by the Binyan Beis Sheni with Ezra from the Golas, the Pasuk, the Gemara often speaks about this, teaches us that many Jews did not come together with Elazar. Says the Gemara, only 4 mishmeiros in total came up from the Golos to Yisrael. Ve'elahein, what were those 4 mishmeiros that came? Yedayu Chorim Pashcha V'Imer. And says the Gemara, says the Braisa, because of this circumstance, Amdu Nevim Shebineim V'Chilkim. They took these 4 mishmeiros and divided them into 6, so that we should have a total 4. Have it to meet them a lesson of Arba, that we should have a total of 24 mishmeiros. Ubalalam, so now we started with these 4 families and we divided it that we should have 24. Now the question is, what should be the order? So says the Gemara, Ubalalam, v'nosnu b'klipei, they divided these families and they put the name of each family into a piece of paper and put it into a box. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara, that Yedaya, as was one of the 4 Mishmeiros that we just learned, that came, and Yedaya's family was divided into 6, as were all the families that came, that any family that was brought, the purpose of the Goyrel was to determine which of these 4 families would come first. Once they decided which would come first, then the Goyrel, then all the other families in that would come along. That's the simple pshat. I saw the Rishash has a little variation. The Rishash says the pshat in the Gemara is like this. As we said, the 4 families that came up are the 4 families that came up. Not only the 4 families that came up, the ones that came up, what was the order of which family of those 4 families should come first, which should come second, etc. That they knew by Ruach HaKodesh. Or perhaps they knew it because they followed the same order that was in place from previously that the Mishmeiros did their avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. But now that we took every family and divided it into 6, so how do we know in this family that we're now divided into 6, who's number 1, who's number 2, who's number 3, and so on? That's what they relied on the Goyrel. So says the Gemara, Baye Yedai V'Notel Chalka V'Chelik Chaverav, Sheish, to all together, to next. Then came Bo Chorim. Chorim came and did the Goyrel amongst his 6. But not the chelik of a chelik averov. 6. Became pashcha, became imer, and so was done with each one of these four families. And continues the Gemara in teaching us. Became histon nevim shebneim. The nevim that were there at that time established. Shefili yayarav rosh mishmeris. Even yayarav, who was the first of the mishmeris in the time of the Beis Migdash Rishon, will decide, Oila, will decide now to come back and live in Eretz Yisrael. Lo yidocha yidaya mikoyma. Yidaya is the first, now is the first mishmar. El yidaya ikar. Yidaya is the first mishmar. V'yorav tafaloi. They will follow into after yidaya. And the way I saw Rashi explains the Gemara is that if Yoyarov's family will now come to Eretz Yisrael, so they deserve to do the avodah in the Beis Hamikdash. We cannot exclude them. And what we're going to do is, we had just taken Yedaya's family and divided it into 6. We're going to redistribute it. It's no longer going to be divided. They're no longer going to be divided into 6. They're going to be divided into 5 in order to give Yoyarov a turn as well. But what's going to happen is Yedaya and his family is first, and then they'll be the first 5, and Yarev will be 6 to give him a turn. Says the Gemara, Yisrael, going back to the Mamodas, we learned in the Mishnah, Yisrael Shabbosim Mishmer, Miskansin, Barei, Vakarim, B'masa Bereshis. All of the members of the Mishmeris would gather in the cities and read from Parsha Bereshis. Mononimili asked the Gemara, what is the connection that we read from Ma'aseh Bereshis to the Ma'amodis? Says the Gemara, Amar of Yaakov bar Acha, Amar of Asli, to teach us, El Moli Ma'amodis, if not for the Ma'amodis, when the sky is Shemayim V'oritz. Klai Yisrael can never exist without these Ma'amodis. Shenema, as we find, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avram Avinu to give him Eretz Yisrael. And then, Avram Avinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'yayma, Hashem Elokim, B'ma Eidu Karishana, how will I know that I will indeed get Eretz Yisrael? I'm Avram. And Avram says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is Avram Avinu's question? Rebbeinu Shloilem, Shem Yisrael Chaitum Lefanecha, Chas V'Shom Klai Yisrael will do Averis, V'ata Oislam Kedar HaMibol Kedar HaFloga, that you will do to them like you did to Dara Mabel and Dara Floga, that you destroyed them. And of course, the Maritz Chayitz asks, did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make a shvua that he would never bring a Mabel again? So he answers that he promised that he would never bring again a Mabel Shalmayim, a Mabel of water, but he can bring a Mabel Shalesh. Another Teretz is that he won't bring a Mabel to destroy the entire world, but maybe he'll bring a Mabel to destroy part of the world. Amalei Lav. So Hashem said, I will never do so again. I will not do so. So he asks, tell me, how could Klal Yisrael be Zoicha? And the way the Marsha explains the Gemara is that he asked, what could Klal Yisrael do to guarantee that they should not lose Eretz Yisrael? Amalei. So Kadosh Baruch Hu told him, "Kicholi eglam mishleshes ve'ez mishleshes, bring to me a carbon, amafan ben shloilam, and the carbonus will bring a kapara, and they will always be saved." So Kadosh Baruch Hu, so Avram said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, "Ben shloim tain up as much base midish kaim. This is all fine and well when the base midish is standing. However, b'zman she'ein base midish kaim, when there will no longer be a base midish, mat teheileim, how?" Klal Yisrael have Yeshua. Amloi, kvat tekanti lam say the kabonis. He says, I established the kabonis, and bezman shekoyim bem lefonai, and I guarantee you, said HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Avram Avinu, that when Klal Yisrael reads the parashas HaKabonis, malu ani aleihem ki lekrivim lefonai, I will consider it as if they brought the kabonis, v'ani moichel hamakol avinaseihem, and all of the averus will have a mechila. So of course, the Gemara is sort of difficult to understand. We know that the Pasuk says that Avram Avinu, the Pasuk says about Vehemen Ba'Hashem, that Avram was the greatest Maimon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises to Avram Avinu Eretz Yisrael to his children, how is Avram Avinu asking questions B'ma Eda? So the Mashah explains that Avraham Avinu knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's promise, of course, is very strong. But Avraham Avinu was concerned that Klal Yisrael will not be able to survive in the Golus. And his question to HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, how would Klal Yisrael be able to survive in the Golus? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the way they'll survive is through the Kabbonis, and if they can't bring the Kabbonis, they'll be able to learn the Kabbonis, and that's the way they're going to survive in the terrible Golus. Another pshat that I saw is that what Avraham Avinu was concerned about the Kabbonis. Avraham Avinu wasn't concerned about Eretz Yisrael. Avraham Avinu knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised them they'll have what they're supposed to have. But Avraham Avinu knew that the success of Klal Yisrael is very dependent on their bringing Kabbonis. And he was asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what will be when they won't be able to bring Kabbonis? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if they learn the parasha of Kabbonis, that will be good enough. But it says in the Gemara here, Bizman Shakari Lufanai. What does that mean? So it says that what sort of Sefer Lishmoy Lamudim explains, what the Gemara means to say is that when a person is saying the Parshas Kabbonis, he has to realize Shekoyer Mem Lefonai, that he's standing in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu. If somebody reads the Kabbonis with such an approach, then the Kabbonis work, saying the Kabbonis work. But if you just say it without knowing what you're saying, it doesn't have much value. Rabbeinu Mechaya, in fact, says the only time Kabbonis are valuable, saying the Kabbonis, is only if you read them and understand what you're saying. If you don't understand, then it doesn't work. But I did say that I saw from the Sefer Chikrei Lev that, of course, saying the Kabbonis is not necessarily equivalent to bringing a carbon. He says, the Gemara says in more than one place that somebody did an Aveira, and they said that when the Beis B'Shogeg, and they said when the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, they're going to have to bring a carbon. But if saying the Parshas Kabbonis is good enough, so let them say the Parshas Kabbonis, and they won't have to bring any carbon in Mitzvah Shem when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. We clearly see that it's not the same, and of course, as great as it is to say the Parshas Kabbonis, it's not the same as bringing the Kabbonis. Tan Rabbanan says the Gemara Anshe Mishmar Hayuspala Karban Chayim. They would daven about the Kabbonis, the Karban Tom that was being brought. She spalled Baratzin that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should mekabel the Karban. Van she mamid miskansel by Saknesis. They would come to the shul for Yoshvin Arba Tanoyis, and they would sit in a Tanis 4 days of the week. B'sheni b'Shabbos, b'Shlishi b'Revi b'Chamishi. They would fast Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Begins the Gemara by saying, "B'sheni yardayam." When they fasted and daven on the second day of the week on Monday, they daven that people who traveled in the sea should be successful. They should be safe, as the pasuk says on regarding Yom Sheni, "Yehi rakia b'soy chamayim." So what they were davening was that water, people should be safe when they travel in the ocean. B'shlishi, they would be mispalel al hoicha midbarius. People who travel in the midbar, they should be safe. Why on Yom HaShlishi? Because it says, by the creation of the world, on Yom HaShlishi, v'seiro hayabosha. B'rvi, on Wednesday, they would daven al askara, shlai tipal al tenoikis, that they should not, the children should not die from askara, because the pasuk says on Yom Revi, Yehi Ma'oris Barakia. But when we look at the way the word Ma'oris is spelled in the pasuk, it's spelled Chaser Ma'oris. Ma'oris means a curse, and the curse was that people die, that there's going to be askara. I saw another pshat that why on Yom Revi do we have to be concerned about askara? Because Yom Revi, askara, people suffer from askara because they speak Lashon Hara. Why was the first time the Lashon Hara was spoken? But Yom Revi,
when the moon came to speak to Kadosh Baruch Hu about the sun, Ein Shtei Melochim Mishtamshim B'Keser Echad. So since that was the day where Lashon Hara was spoken, and Lashon Hara brings Askra, that's why on Yom Revi'i we daven for that. B'Chamishi, they would daven ala Ubris on pregnant women and Manikas, nursing women, Ubris Shla Yapilu, that pregnant women shouldn't miscarry, Minoikas Shinikas B'Neim, and that the nursing women should be successful. That was why was they davened for all these people. All these people needed Yeshua. Why did they daven in Yom Chamishi? Because Yom Chamishi, for these people, because in Yom Chamishi it says, Yishisu Amayim Sheretz Nefesh Chaya. That was the day where things being born was Yom Chamishi, so it's appropriate to daven for this on Yom Chamishi. Be'er Shabbos Lo Masanim. On Friday, they didn't fast. Mnei Kavod Shabbos. Mnei Kavod Shabbos. And certainly, the Kavod Chaim B'Shabbos Atzmai, that they didn't fast on Shabbos. And that's why the halacha is that if somebody has to fast, the fast on Friday, he should not come to Shabbos. He should avoid fasting. And even if he fasts, he should not fast until it's actually Shabbos. Bech B'Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, why did they not fast on Sunday? My Tama loy, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mivnei HaNoitzrim. The Noitzrim made Sunday into their holiday, and we didn't want to fast, and it would be dangerous if we fasted, and we're fasting on a day which is their holiday. Rashmuba Nachmeni Amar, Mnei Shushlish Litzira. It was the third day from the creation of the world, and we know from the story of Yaakov Avinu and Shechem, that whenever somebody is weak, he's weakest on the third day. And therefore, that's why there's a concept of Shlishi Lamila, and that's why on Sunday, which is the third day after people were created on Erev Shabbos, they're weak, and they shouldn't fast on Sunday. Of course, the Mashah asks that the Mamadis and everything was in existence before the Nutzrim, who made Sunday into their holiday. So the Mashah explains that Sunday was always something special because Sunday was the day where Kadosh Baruch Hu started creating the world. And the Umas Olam, who worship the sun and the moon that were created at the beginning of the Brias Olam, always considered Sunday that holiday. And since they always considered Sunday that holiday, even before before they had their religion, that's why we avoid Sunday became a religion, a day of worship, and we have to avoid fasting on that day. Moreover, the Gemara says, because it's Yom Shlishi Litzira. So it's very interesting. In Bells, there's a minig that if there's a bris that didn't take place in the proper time, so we know if the bris did not take place in the proper time, we push off the bris to when we can. But there, the minig was that we never make a bris that's pushed off from the proper time on Sunday. And the reason is, based on what our Gemara just said, that the Gemara said that Sunday people are weak, and we don't make a bris on Sunday because people are weak. Many have a question on that, and one of the questions that I saw that's asked is that the Gemara says that sometimes a bris is supposed to take place on Sunday. That means if a baby was born Friday evening, and we don't know if the baby was born on Friday or on Shabbos, so we don't do the bris on Friday because maybe it's not yet the eighth day. We don't do the bris on Shabbos because also we're only allowed to do a bris on Shabbos if it's Yom HaShmini. But on Sunday, so we should do the bris on Sunday. But here we're saying there's a mitzvah there's a meaning not to do a bris on Sunday. So why do we do the bris on Sunday? So the Paiska want to say that maybe the meaning is only in a situation when we see that the baby has that the baby was not well. In other words, if we have a bris that was supposed to take place earlier, and it was delayed because the baby wasn't well, so Sunday is not the day to make a bris for a baby who wasn't well. Because Sunday, the Gemara just said, people in general are weak.
But if we're pushing off the bris, not because the baby wasn't well, it's Baruch Hashem, a perfectly healthy baby. We're only pushing off the bris because the reason we're now describing that, because we don't know when is the proper time to make the bris, then the halacha is that we could make a bris on Sunday. The Shem Shmuel has a very powerful vart. He says, what's pshat that the Gemara says that people are weak on Sunday? He says, because every week after Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu determines and decides, again, is the world worth being recreated? The people living the way I want them to live, that we should recreate the world. And that's why Sunday is a very delicate day. Rish Lakish Amar, the reason we don't fast on Sunday is when they shum Nisam Yisera. Dam Rish Lakish, Nisam Yisera Nitna Baba Adam Erev Shabbos. Every Erev Shabbos, everybody gets a Nisam Yisera. With Matzah Shabbos, Noitan Laisai Mimeno. And Matzah Shabbos is taken away. Shinemar, Shavas v'yinofash. Kivin shavas, as soon as the person was shoyim Shabbos and the Shabbos goes away, vay of the nefesh. And during the week we had Shabbos, we had a Nisham Yisera, and then we lose it on Sunday, so we're weak because we lost it. And because we lose it on Matzoy Shabbos, we can't fast on Sunday. So the question is, what about Matzah Yontif? Is there a Nisham Yisera on Shabbos, or is there only, or is there a Nisham Yisera even on Yontif? It's a big machloikis Rishonim. Tosfos seems to learn there is no Nisham Yisera on Yontif. Other Rishonim say that there is. But the question is, if there is a Nisham Yisera on Matzah Yontif, so we know that a Matzah Shabbos by Avdallah, we smell the besamim to compensate for the Nisham Yisera that's leaving. But if there's no Nisham Yisera on Yontif, if there's a Nisham Yisera on Yontif, so why don't we smell besamim on Matzah Yontif? So the Sfas Emes says there's a difference between Shabbos and Yontif. Shabbos comes automatically. Yontif only comes because we, as we learned extensively in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, make when Yontif is based on determining when Rosh Chodesh is. A Nisham Yisera that comes min HaShemayim is a different type of a Nisham Yisera that comes because we made Yontif. And therefore, the Nisham Yisera of Shabbos needs Besamim, the Nisham Yisera of Yontif does not. Another pshat that I saw is the Nisham Yisera of Shabbos leaves, and therefore we have to smell Besamim. The Nisham Yisera of Yontif, we have the ability of holding on to that Neshama Yisera. It's our Nisham Yisera to hold on to. And if we do what's right, we will hold on to it. And therefore, we don't have to smell Besamim. We could keep the Nisham Yisera. Of course, there's a very big question. What is the Nisham Yisera? Rashi explains, Shemachivim datoy lachil l'shtiyah. It gives us the ability to eat and drink. So Rashi seems to have the explanation of the Nisham Yisera, a very gashmistic explanation. Others say Shabbos v'nefashos is that we understand that we have ability to do more avodas Hashem. And as the Sfas Emes says, the entire week, because we're so busy doing whatever we do, we don't have the ability to feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The same way like we have the ability to feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Shabbos. And that's what the Gemara says, Kivin Sheshavas, Vay of the Nefesh. When Shabbos goes away, we realize what the difference, and that's why we can't fast on Sunday, realizing our potential, which we lose every week as Shabbos goes away. B'yom Rishon, they read B'Shereishis V'Yekiyah. Tana B'Reishis, that parsha was read by Shnayim. We divided into two people. And Yerikiyah was Be'echad by another person. Bishlam Yerikiyah Be'echad, that we had one person get that aliyah, because tlos psukim have it. It's three psukim. And we know that aliyah has three psukim. El Bereshis B'Shnayim, the Pashas Bereshis, that we have two people, what's pshat? Chamisha psukim haven, says the Gemara, there are five psukim, and the halacha is a kar b'tayra,
But we know the halacha is that if you get an aliyah, ayif shchei mishloisha psukim. You have to read three psukim. So what do? Rav Amadoilig. The first person reads three psukim, and the second reads one pasuk, reads the last pasuk that the first person read over. Shmuel Amar Paisik. We divide it into two. The first person, the first oiler gets 2.5 psukim, and the second oiler gets 2.5 psukim. Rav Amadoilig says the Gemara, the Rav that says that we read it over, my tamala ema paisik. Why doesn't it say we just say 2.5 and 2.5 like Shmuel? And says the Gemara, because kol psukah delo pasuk in Moshe, Rav's opinion is if Moshe Rabbeinu didn't turn it into a separate pasuk, and not loy pasukin alay. Mishmuel ema paisik, mik paskirin, v'omer Rav Chanina, karat tsar gol hayali, eitz Rav Chanina godl. He says, I can never divide a pasuk. And it's hard to teach them sometimes a whole pasuk at one time. Why, when you're teaching your children, are you allowed to divide the pasuk? You can't teach it to them any other way. We don't have any other option. That's why we divide the pasuk. Ask the Gemara of Shmuel, I'm a Paisik, by Tamalayim a Dalek. Why doesn't he hold that we should read it over? Answers the Gemara, Gzeir Mishum HaNechnasim, Mishum HaYoytzim. We're worried about a person who's going to go into the, come into the shul, and here, when the second person is getting the Aliyah, that they'll think that the first person only got two Psukim. Or, Mishum HaYoytzim, somebody who leaves the Beis HaKnesses after the first person got the Aliyah, and he sees that there's only two psukim left, he's going to think that you could get an Aliyah with only two psukim. Meisvei, it says in a Braisa, Pasha Shish psukim, we have a Pasha of six psukim, Koronos of Bishnaim. We divide it into two, three and three. Chamisha, if it's five psukim, B'yachid. All five psukim should only be given to one person getting an Aliyah. The Marishan Kari Shleisha, if the first person read three psukim and stopped, which he shouldn't have, if it's a parish of five psukim, but that's what happened. The next person who gets a Aliyah, we should read the remaining two psukim, and Echemi Parasha Acheris, and one pasuk for the next parasha, V'yeshayimrim Shleisha. We should read three psukim into the next parasha. Lefish ei maschil meparasha pox mishloshe psukim. Once we start a parasha, we have to read at least three psukim from that parasha. Lamanda amadoilig, but ask the coin tomorrow, according to Rav, who gave us the option of doilig, of reading it over. So why don't we do that here too? Lidlike. Lamanda amadoilig, according to Shmuel, who said paisik, we could divide it. Why don't we do that as well here? Vilifsik answers the Gemara. This is only done here because we had no option. In other places, Shani Hossam, Display Rafcha, what is the option to read into the next parasha, certainly that is the better option.